Zach, you okay if we do some bodyweight stuff?
Yeah, dude, let's rock and roll.
Out of the mouth.
Burpees.
Yeah.
We'll do sets of 10 because I know you guys are not
burpee connoisseurs.
Burpee connoisseurs.
We are here in Pittsfield, starting up the podcast. We've got Dr. Johnny on the right. We've got Wilderness Wild Woman Sephra, a little closer to the right in my personal space. And then you've got Colonel Nye from Special Operations,
yeah.
Not Special
yeah,
Forces.
That's fine.
And we're here. We're going to talk about Zach Evanesh. He's a great buddy. If he was here, he'd be on the mics with us. He actually introduced me to Barbell Shrugged, which is another podcast about a year ago. He wrote Underground Straight Training. He runs Underground Straight Training, which is a community. I don't know. He's probably got a couple of hundred coaches that he's certified around the country. These are guys that lift up like chains.
I was going to say, what exactly is that?
Yeah, they're lifting chains. They eat barbed wire for breakfast. They're just big guys. They're animals. He brought a whole bunch of people up here. You saw that just now. I trained with them early in the morning. They're animals. And he just got a lot of knowledge. He gets it done. He grew up in Israel. So he grew up in a tough spot, with some battling with Palestinians going on while he was there, and I don't know. You're gonna love him. You're gonna love him.
Watching you guys out there in the dawn in that intro. I've been here lots, and I've seen you take lots of people out for the morning workout, and I've learned that either means you really like them, you want to test them, be their friend, or you don't like them at all, and they're usually the ones who aren't back the next morning. So he came back,
and no, we weren't looking to chase him. We definitely want to keep him around because he's a source of inspiration. He's really smart. I asked him a bunch of questions about his business and how he built it, and he's been in this game a lot longer than Spartan Race has been around, so... So he can provide a lot of insight to things we want to know.
He was associated with Lehigh Wrestling as well, right?
He's over at Lehigh Wrestling right now.
Did you talk to him about that?
I told him you'd be very interested
in
that.
Yeah, I would be. I'd like to hear what he's got to say about it.
You're a big fan of wrestling, right?
I'm a big fan of wrestling.
It's my background, too. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Wrestling. Well, you're a wrestler, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wrestler too.
You know that? You didn't know he was a wrestler.
I did not know that. But
yeah. You guys, well, I'll put you guys closer. You can throw each other out.
That'll be the close.
It's been a few years, though, so we'll go easy.
Cool.
All right. Let's do it.
Fantastic.
All right, so we are here in Pittsfield, Vermont, the middle of nowhere, with my buddy Zach Evanesh. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's it.
You're from Jersey Shore, but you're originally from Israel.
Yeah.
And he's a monster. he lifted weights old school, Arnold Schwarzenegger style, for most of his life, bodybuilder, phys ed teacher, turned entrepreneur, extremely successful. My family and I stayed in his house this summer.
Yep.
We learned how to surf and skateboard and rollerblade. It was fun. Anyway, we got this idea that why don't we share some stories, why don't we create a podcast, a video podcast, that's why you're seeing us on video, where we go explore the world and find amazing people and just learn on what works and what doesn't, how you get ahead in life, why some people fall behind, right? So let's dive right in. So I don't know. You've been successful. What would you say?
All the unsuccessful stuff made me successful, as that's what I always say. I would say that what taught me about success was there's always like the little things that that add up. Things like the signature sometimes somebody would leave in the bottom of an email, the cover of a book, or seeing a lesson that I learned. I remember when my dad was laid off from his job. I was a senior in high school. And I remember I came back, we had a half day, and it was like 12:30, and he was there. This is the winter of 1993. And he's there, briefcase open, making phone calls. And not long ago, when the economy was going down and a lot of people were let go, I saw people saying, I'm maxing out my unemployment. I'm going the full 6 months. But I remember my dad drove home, and he was on the phone making connections, looking to get that next job.
Instead of just taking the unemployment check.
I don't know if they gave unemployment back then. I don't even know if he knew.
Yeah.
And some people say that, oh, you were an immigrant, so you learned that work ethic. But it's, of course, you hear the saying of you are the average of those five closest friends. But it's the things I've seen in life, and it's certainly the like what I mentioned earlier, the unsuccessful times in my life that they're so painful that you never
want to repeat it.
You never want to go experience that kind of emotional pain again. And it you're able to just do the things that the quote-unquote normal people don't want to do. People that don't want to wake up early, stay up late, lose sleep, be uncomfortable. Even little things like last night, I finished work at about 1:30. I woke up at 5:15. So that's just, how it's at, 4 hours of sleep about. Yeah. And I know a lot of people, like, whenever I ask them, you know, what do you have for breakfast or do you train in the morning? And it's always like, I'm too tired. I can't wake up. And they let circumstance kind of boss them around.
Yeah.
And
I had a guy say to me once, do you want to be average or do you want to be above average, right? Because the average guy hits the snooze button.
Yes.
In the morning, right?
Right. So, you have that in your book.
Yeah. And so I don't want to be average. You don't want to be average. And most people say they don't want to be average, but they do things that average people would do.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got to wake up early, right? You got to go to bed early. You got to probably stay off the liquor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, what's interesting to me is normal has moved, right? Normal, yeah. Think about it. Normal in 400 BC was here.
Right.
Normal now is couch, potato, croissant, coffee, cigarette. That's normal.
Yeah.
Heart attack, cancer, normal.
Yes.
Right?
It's weird. So I'm 38, but my daughter now is just turned 8. My son just turned 6. And I remember when they were younger and I was running around with them at the lake or at the beach that I took notice to some of the other dads. And I saw that as soon as life, you know, quote unquote, life happens, they just stopped everything aside from work and sitting down, meaning they stopped being fit. They stopped trying to be strong. They stopped trying to develop themselves, not just physically, but mentally.
They just shut down.
They just let it go. Like, you know, I've got kids now. I can't do anything. For me, I always just look at, like, how to build momentum, meaning I know it doesn't take a whole lot. It's just chipping away. So for me, I know waking up early is going to be tough. But I know those first few minutes are going to go by fast, and I'm going to build momentum. Momentum is key. Same thing at the end of the night. I run 2 gyms, and I usually shut down at 8 p.m. Yeah. But my wife thinks that, like, 8 p.m., you close, you go home. I've got to mop floors, clean, pick up little pieces of garbage that I don't like to see.
But those,
and then I have to do my workout.
Those things that you're talking about, what I found, I don't know if you found the same thing, is there's only 1% of the population that does that, right? I mean,
I remember once saying somebody, that's the top 10%. Then my friend and I would say this, and then we were like, we don't even think it's a top 10, and it became a top 5, and yeah.
It's 1%. I mean, think about it. You hire 10 people, only one of them is the good one, right?
Will follow through, will stay loyal, will do the things that are not what I say in the quote-unquote job description, meaning, so I run a gym. I don't tell the guys you have to clean, but if you've got that, like, inner integrity, you walk by something, you see a piece of garbage, you pick it up.
Right. But that's 1 out of 10.
If it's in you, correct.
Yep.
That's the 1 out of 10. So that's the, being in business requires mental toughness. Being an entrepreneur requires mental toughness.
But that's interesting, right? So when we moved here to Pittsfield, and we started to move here in 2002, I officially got here in 2005. But I remember it's a tiny little town. There's only 400 people in town. And I thought, we got to bring people to town. Wouldn't it be cool? Because I've run businesses my whole life since I'm 11 years old. Wouldn't it be cool to create a race where we found the 1%, right? This crazy event where people are chopping wood and carrying wheelbarrows and doing whatever we ask them to do. The survivors maybe are the 1%ers, the ones that you'd go in business with, right? And what we found is that, yes, they're amazing people, the ones that finish that race. It could last 48, 72 hours. But I think an entrepreneur almost has to deal with stuff that's much worse than that. You agree? Or?
Because there's no 48, 72 hours. It's sometimes months, years, a decade. There's many stories of people that have struggled, but they believed, and then they kept testing and tweaking, and they...
And everything that can go wrong goes wrong, right? Everything that can go wrong goes wrong.
Some of the worst things could happen to the entrepreneurs, meaning the marriage fails because you're putting in that, you miss out on kids growing up, but those are things that could go wrong if you allow them to go wrong. I'm going to back up that one of the most important things is you got to wake up early. you wake up early, you get things done while the normal people are asleep, and then you have the time to, you know, do the right things in your life, to spend time with the family.
How long, you have two gyms, and you've got an internet business, you wrote a book we're going to talk about.
Yep.
I know the answer from my perspective. How many years have those businesses taken to make money? Like, was it a month? Was it
In the beginning, it was negative. In the beginning, this is before social media was out. You couldn't just go on Facebook and run ads. In the beginning, when I started saying, I remember everybody told me, I said, I'm going to train wrestlers. I'm gonna turn like the weakest wrestlers into state champs, national champs. They all said, you can't do it. They said that's like the poor man's sport. Wrestlers don't want to do that stuff. You don't own a gym. I started training them out of my parents' garage and backyard. I found ways to make it happen, and I did it. It was right after I had ACL surgery. I remember I was doing crazy things. Like I'd tell my wife, I'd make a bunch of flyers, and I'd say, go take me to this town. It was like a very high-income town. And then I would tape flyers on the trees. Stupid stuff.
So how long did that
but from the begin, hustle.
From the day you took, started, when did it finally put a dollar in your pocket?
It definitely took over a year. Over a year.
So you're over a year into it.
Yep.
Month five, wife's saying you're crazy.
Everybody said I was crazy.
Why don't you quit?
I just believed. I believe, but also I refuse to quit. As an entrepreneur, sometimes that's not the best thing, because sometimes you have to know when to say, all right, this thing, nobody even wants that, let it go. I was just tweaking and testing things, and I remember actually the first time wrestlers signed up for me. I had called every wrestling club in New Jersey. There was just shy of 30 of them. Out of the 30, two of them called back. I remember I finally got to the one. I told the guy, I go, I'm starting like you in my garage. I go, I'll take your guys through a warm-up, a power workout. If you don't like it, kick me out. Give me 15 minutes. You don't have to pay me a dime. And leading up to that, I was trying to get people to train with me. My garage was set up like it was legit. I mean, I had high-end squat racks. I had all the dumbbells. I had kegs filled with water, sandbags. I mean, it was just a gladiator paradise. But I couldn't get people to sign up. I remember going to that wrestling club, and I said to myself, I don't want to curse here, but I was getting so pumped up. I was like, mother effer. I'm like, I'm going to do anything I got to do, and I'm going to just speak my heart. This was a year after I was doing all the internet stuff.
And still not, had a website. Still not making money.
Nobody would sign up. They would call me. They would email me. They wouldn't follow through. I go to this wrestling club, and I remember I was writing the workouts on the index card. So I'd make pretend I'd get a drink, and I'd go get a drink, and I'd look at the index card to see what the next exercises were. And I took these kids through awesome workout. There were supposed to be like 30-something kids. It was a camp. I think there was seven kids. There was like seven kids there. When I left, I gave them the ultimatum, and I said, here's what's going on. And I told them, you're training with me out of the garage. If you train with me, you're going to be a champion. You're going to be the one getting your hand raised. If you don't train with me, you're going to be sitting in the stands watching us kick ass. I'm giving you a special offer. I said, that special offer ends as soon as I walk out that door. And I get goosebumps when I talk about it, because I remember saying to myself in the back of my head, who's gonna do this? So I said, this is what the special offer is. I give them the price, and then I say, the special ends when I walk out that door. And then I stopped talking, and the room was silent. The parents were sitting against the wall. The wrestlers were exhausted. So I go to my sport bag. I had a red Adidas bag. I start putting my index cards in, my water bottle, and in the back of my head, I'm saying, holy shit, nobody's going to sign up with me. Here we go again. Nothing's going to work. And as I'm packing my bags, one dad walks up to me and says, I want to get my son to sign. I want to get my son trained with you. What does it take? I go, you need to put a down payment of $20. He pulled out $20 bill. He gave me 20 bucks. And that was a little bit of momentum. Right. And then another dad came up, and I knew that father had a very high-skilled son. He went on to win 3 prep national titles. And he came up and said, I want both of my sons to do it. And then in my head, I'm like, I don't even have a plan B. Is there another discount for the two kids? So I was like, and then I just gave him some offer. And I got 3 out of the 7. And that was when it started working. Yeah. Momentum
began
to
build. Well, you felt good. You started to believe in it even more.
Yes.
And it started to work.
Yes.
Wrap it up. We'll be back.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
What are some of the roadblocks that really stick in your mind, obstacles that really you were like, man, this thing was tough, but you made it through.
Yeah, so one of the things, as you were saying that, I was thinking, and since we're sharing this podcast, maybe you should call it Spartan Up, the Underground.
My podcast is the Strong Life Podcast.
Right, the Spartan Up, the Strong Life Podcast.
Spartan Up, the Strong Life Podcast. I love it.
Unless you have to have your name first, in which case it could be
Strong. I'm okay.
All right. So, but one of the things you just said that really intrigues me is how do you define success? And it's got to be defined based on your values. You and I value hanging out with our kids. Some people might or not, right?
Right.
You and I value fitness. Some people might not. So success would be defined, like if I'm fit and I'm feeling good, I'm successful. If I'm hanging out with my kids, right?
Yeah.
And I think I was lucky. I went to a Tony Robbins weekend.
I did that too. Unleash the Power Within.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
And I did it. I wouldn't have done it because I think that stuff is a little strange, but I did it because we needed to meet him for Spartan Race.
Yep.
And he mandated that I sit through the whole weekend. It's a very long weekend.
Yeah. It's something like a 7 a.m. till about 1 a.m., about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it was a lot. But one thing he said that nailed it was you define your values. What do you value in life? I want to be healthy. I want to have a great family. I want to be successful monetarily. And then you've got beliefs. Like, so if you value I want to be healthy, but you believe it's okay to smoke a cigarette a day, your beliefs are not lining up with your values.
Right.
Right? And that's the problem with most people. Somebody might say, hey, I really value being fit, or I really want to be successful, but I hit the snooze button in the morning. It's okay to wake up at night. Like, how's that? That doesn't coincide.
What? With that being said, did you always have your values clearly defined, or is that
I got lucky.
Do you really believe in luck? Seriously?
I'm gonna answer that next. So I was lucky because my dad in the 80s went broke. Prior to going broke, he was very, very successful. We had a very big house for those first 7-8 years growing up. We had anything we wanted. Then he went broke. And it was a slow going broke, so stuff just started getting taken away. Then they got divorced, and my mother moved away. Then we couldn't pay for the heat in the house. We couldn't pay the mortgage. You didn't know it when it was happening. Best thing that ever happened to me. And not the best thing that ever happened to him, but for my sister and I, it completely shifted everything. And I said to myself, well, they must have gotten divorced and they must have fought because he didn't have any money. Whether that's true or not, that's what I planted in my head.
Right.
And so I said, I'm gonna make money and I'm gonna do well so that that doesn't happen to me. I'm not gonna get married until I have enough money that there's no stress on the relationship. So I just buckled down like you would flipping tires or building your gym and said, this is my lifelong focus. And started a swimming pool business, like when you started your gym, and it didn't work. No one called, I wasn't making any money, I couldn't make the payments for the equipment, I couldn't buy the chemicals I needed, but not for a month, not for 2 months, not for a year. It was 4 years in before I made money, 4 years. Not many people make it 4 years. I don't even know how, I think it was stupidity that I made it 4 years.
They say the majority of, the percent of like small business owners that fail within the first year is like 70-something percent, 80-something percent, and then...
They're big numbers.
Yeah,
right?
And then very, very few go...
Beyond a year.
Beyond 5 years.
Yeah, that's
right. So they say if you're going to learn business, don't learn from that person that like came in, boom, and just exploded,
right.
Because you want to see longevity.
So struggle, finally make money in the pool business.
What happened that you finally...
Well, you just finally, I've had a few more customers, right? And it just started to turn, started to figure it out. And my younger cousin, who's unfortunately his mom had died, was like my baby cousin, I have to send him away to school. So that first year I finally made money, I sent him away to school and all the money was gone.
There goes your money.
There goes money. So
yep.
It was the fifth year, finally made some money. But anyway, the business built up and we had it 10, 11, 12 years, sold it, went to Wall Street. I'm on Wall Street, and it's going to be easy to start a Wall Street firm because I started a swimming pool business, right? And so I'll be able to pull this off.
They're exactly the same.
And I'm about, hang on, I guess we're going to have to cut and edit. So back to Wall Street. So I say to myself, all right, I could build this business. I built the last business. And I've got a bunch of savings from building that business. I sold that company. And everybody says, you're an idiot. How can you possibly start a Wall Street institutional trading firm? My clients would have been Goldman Sachs, Morgan. Why would they possibly deal with a pool guy? And they were right. We were about 9 months in. I was completely out of money. All those years I'd been saving all that money was gone, right? Because I had to rent a Wall Street firm. I had to hire people. I had to pay for very expensive telephone systems. Just about to go broke. Anybody else would have quit. And the phone rings, just like when you got that first customer.
Yep.
And someone who's my best friend now gives me the first order, and boom, changes my whole life. That first order comes in, the second order comes in. Before you know it, we build the firm over the next 10 years to 150 people. Becomes a very, very big business. Got very lucky, sold it, and ended up here in Vermont. So the story gets better. So now I'm in Vermont thinking, well, shit. I've got two winners, right? I crushed it with the pools and construction. It was easy on Wall Street. We're in this little town of Vermont. I'm gonna rebuild a bunch of these old businesses and make this awesome. I'm gonna save this old building, but the general store, we're gonna save the farm and do weddings. We're gonna do all these things, and complete failure. Complete and utter failure.
Why? So this happens a lot, entrepreneurs. We kind of get into our head, we're succeeding, we've got a good track record, so we think we could kind of go anywhere and do it. Well, you have succeeded, you have built it up, but what was the failure? What were the things, you know, two or three things that stand out that messed it up?
Frank Sinatra's got that song, New York, New York, right? If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. I joke, I was recently talking to the governor of Vermont, and I said, they should change the song to Vermont, Vermont, because if you can make it in Vermont, you could make it anywhere. The bottom line is, there's no people here. You could have the most beautiful general store, you could have the greatest setting, you could build all these beautiful, there's nobody here.
Yes.
So how are you gonna do it? In New York, well, you don't need anything. You need 2 feet by 2 feet and a frying pan and some butter and eggs, and you're in business, you're making money.
Yep.
Right? And so I definitely didn't do the homework, and it's been, it's been now 10 years of bleeding, and I think my stubbornness, which you touched on a little bit, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you want to be persistent and stick with it, but there are times where you should just cut
right.
your losses. I'm stubborn here, and it's been a decade of losses. So,
because you believe that is like a, I don't know if it's like an entrepreneurial like disease where we refuse to let it go. But same thing with me opening up that second location. My first location, very profitable, pumping, started. I mean, it was pumping out of a house, out of a two-car garage, which was illegal. I wasn't supposed to run a business out of a residential house.
Those are the best kind of businesses.
Yeah, I love, you know, because it teaches you to not be perfect. It teaches you to embrace the imperfection. But when I opened that new place up, my mind started changing a little bit, and I started saying, maybe I shouldn't train just the athletes. Maybe I'm going to train adults. I got away from what was important to me, my values, and what I really believed in. As soon as I reconnected with that, and also reconnecting with the right people. One of my friends is here. He'll be on the Spartan Up podcast. You know, he really helped me clear my mind and said, hey, he said, why? He goes, what's important to you? And I got back to training the way I want to train, doing the things that I want to do.
Well, if you love it and you're passionate about it, it works,
right?
But not always. I love this and I'm passionate about this, but Vermont has been impossible
sure.
to make it work.
There's some places or some things
yeah,
that
like
are,
if you open the gym in Siberia, it probably
right. They're better off in certain places.
Right.
They're better off in certain places. And in some places, right, like people don't embrace what you think they embrace. They said the most important thing in business is the hungry crowd. Gary Halbert said that. He said, if two guys owned a hot dog stand or hamburger stand, and we could have any advantage we wanted, he asked these entrepreneurs, and they're saying, well, we would get this special ketchup, mustard, this and that. Everybody was talking about like the stuff. He said, no. He said, the best advantage is a hungry crowd, people that want it.
Yeah.
And
got no crowd here. There's no
so
crowd.
Here
hungry
get,
or full.
Hungry
they're,
or full.
They're not
so,
here.
Yeah, there's a lot of resistance to that. So what do you have to do? You have to find, I learned this as a teacher. I'll never forget the cooperating teacher, when I was student teaching, he goes, Zach, today there's an assembly in the gym, so you're going to take the kids outside onto the field. And this is my first time. I'm like, what the heck am I going to do? I'm like, I never took like 60 kids outside to a field. It's going to be nuts. So he goes, I'm going to tell you something, Zach. He goes, there's always plan B. And then he says, even if there's not plan B, there is. Which he was saying, figure that shit out on the fly. So when something doesn't work, you have to leverage the internet, contacts. You have to find ways to make it.
Yeah, you know, a really smart entrepreneur said, lose, but lose fast.
Yes.
And I'm 10 years into losing here, and so I didn't lose fast. Let's talk about your book.
Yeah.
All right, hang on, I'm going to grab it.
Awesome. We should talk about just, I mean, books in general. I'll tell you
why. So this book is 12 pounds. It's 12 pounds. What's nice about it is you don't need to go to a gym if you buy this book because you just carry it and it's a workout.
Put your weight belt on.
This is it. So what do you got here? This book is unbelievable.
This is an important book. This was, I thought about the books I read as a kid. My parents always tried getting me to read, and I would read nothing until I started coming across books on exercise about being strong. But the book that hit home for me the most during my younger years was I started taking out Arnold Schwarzenegger's Education of a Bodybuilder. It's a small book. It's a part autobiography, part training manual. And I would take it out of the library and I'd read it during study hall and I'd read it at night over and over. I started taking it out at the end of my freshman year and I never let anybody else take it out. So I kept signing every 2 weeks. There was like 20 library cards only with me. I feared another kid would learn his secrets. And what inspired
That's a great story, by the way.
What inspired me was how he always broke the rules and didn't follow like the resistance. He wanted to be the world's, you know, best built man. And everybody said, that's crazy. You need to go to the military. Then you need to be a police officer like your father. You need to get a job. They were kind of trying to confine him into normal. But he said, you know, in his own mind, he said, I'm not going to do that. That's normal. I want to achieve greatness. I want to, you know, change this world. And that book changed my life because there was many times, not just myself, but also the younger generation of today, they have a lot of emotional issues, coping issues. They don't have the strength to handle what you and I are talking about in life. You know, they're not entrepreneurs, but young kids have to deal with all the stupid social stress, the family stuff, all the sports stuff. The pressure is so high that if they don't get tough, that life will beat them up. So I created a book.
This book will get you tough.
That will get you tough. So it's a part autobiography, part training manual.
That'll get you tough.
Yeah. There's body weight, sandbags, stones. And it's really all about embracing the imperfection. And, you know, the subtitle is to be stronger, not just in the gym, but in life. And, you know, that's what we've been trying to really talk about is you could be strong in the gym. You could be strong running the marathon. But when you can handle life, that is powerful because life is tough and life can beat you up and kick the crap out of you.
Let's talk about Thomas Edison quick.
Sure.
Right? So the story goes, 1,000 light bulbs before he got one that worked.
Right.
So the question then is, how many guys worked in the lab with him, right, that quit?
And bailed out.
Quit, right?
Yes.
I'm out of here.
This is
stupid.
I'm
not getting paid anything. Yeah. Lights don't work. We're using candles. This is terrible.
Right.
You don't know what you're doing.
Right. There's something to be said about loyalty to others, whether it's the people working for him, and also loyalty to yourself, to what you believe in. Like when I opened the second gym, I started veering from what I was truly about, which is people told me, you can't train people hard in that town. It's a beach town. Everybody's not into that. And I said, hell's no. I'm going to build a bunch of warriors. That's what I was put on this earth to do. I was loyal to that cause.
Right.
And there's also something to be said. When something is being built, it is tough, whether it's a business or a house. And there needs to be a loyalty to the cause.
I mean, it probably happened with you in building your gyms, but I can't tell you. And even Marion, who you don't know, who's holding the camera, she's built businesses. How many people come and go along the way?
Sure, right? They just bail out.
This is. I'm getting on a different boat. I've got, and I will tell you.
Or they take what you've built and claim it as their own, and you could either let it crush you, or you could rise above.
Yeah. Well, I mean, life is too short to get upset over silly stuff, right? So you move forward.
Truly is.
But the people that bail, bail because they don't think it's going to work, right? It's too hard.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference probably between the entrepreneurial stomach and not.
Yeah. Or you need that team that's willing to say, you know what? Sometimes you're going to do a little more work. Sometimes I'm going to do a little bit more work. But we're going to fight together. We're going to fight through. You need, you know, our friend here, Quattro Deuce, will be on the Spartan Up podcast soon. He's a Navy SEAL, and they do things together. And I really learned a lot about that. He's trained me. And that's, you have to do things together. And not necessarily for me. I don't have partners in my gym, but my partners are my wife, my kids, and them supporting me makes me strong. Just like you, your kids drive you and inspire you. And also all of the Spartans all around the world.
A lot of Spartans.
Yeah, you can't let them down, can you?
Right.
Can you imagine what they would say about you if you said, you know what, we're going to make these obstacles a little bit easier, or I'm tired, I need a break, we're not going to have Spartan races for the next 3 months.
Or we're going to take some sponsor that's unhealthy but going to pay us a lot of money.
That's right. Exactly.
So you can't fold. Our Navy SEAL friend who you don't know, they never fold. Stay tuned.
Spartan up.
Did you like him?
Yeah, I thought he was a very interesting guy. You know, I thought he had a lot of good ideas about the sticking with it. Yep. You know, that there's, I guess there's strength in endurance. You know, you gotta have persistence. You've gotta keep going. And even if you're not 100% sure what that goal line is, you know there's a goal line out there, and you gotta keep going. And you gotta pay attention as you go. To not only the successes, but the failures as well. And then learn from them and build on those as you're moving forward. So I think there was a lot of lessons there for the average guy to take.
I think he's one of us for sure, right? I mean,
without a doubt.
Plug him right in here. And he has the same philosophy. And I love that story about how he wasn't making money and he was going for broke. And he just sat around a bunch of wrestlers and said, all right, I'm giving a discount. And anybody want to do it? And he said there was complete silence. Yeah, yeah. I guess that didn't work. Yeah. But then one by one, they signed up, and he turned into a business.
Yeah, it's like how Branson started his flight business.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you referenced, you know, times in your life where you've learned from watching hard situations. And I like that what he said. You mentioned as well that you don't just look at the successes along the way. Those failures, there's a lot to learn from them, right? And where have you had that in your life that you wanted to?
I have failures every day, more in Vermont than anywhere else. I mean, it's so much easier. One of the things I think I talk about with Zach is it's easier in New York. It's easier in populated cities to build a business. You come up to a place like Vermont where we are now, there's 400 people in town. Very hard to be successful, especially if you're not somebody that grew up here and part of this community. And for me, the trick is you just keep going, because I've watched so many people fail. Not because they weren't capable, but because they quit.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you just stick with it, you're more likely to succeed. Now, the big question, which we will get into at some point when we interview somebody that this applies to, is when do you quit?
Right, when is enough enough?
When is it okay to quit?
Yeah. Like,
should I have pulled the plug here in Pittsfield that, you know, 6 years
right,
in
but,
or eight
but,
years
but
in?
But is that quitting, or are you just shutting down one lane to go down another lane? I mean, is that all just part of the progression?
That's the question.
Did you really quit, or did you find out that option doesn't work? I still have the goal. I'm going a different route.
Do you make that decision in the military?
Well, when we do plans, we do a plan, and then we have what we call branch and sequels. You know, so we know going in that if something happens, then we go basically plan B, C. But it's all based upon the enemy, because as people like to say, the enemy gets the vote.
So a long-term goal doesn't change.
Doesn't change.
Right, but there may be six roads.
Courses of action may change to get to it.
Something that came to mind for me, we've talked a bit about wrestling, and he referenced wrestling as well. You know, you can be, they've changed the rules, but it used to be 2 3-minute rounds. You can be way down with 30 seconds left in that last round. You may give up on the move you've been trying all day long, because clearly it's not going to work, but you still have 30 seconds to get to your goal of winning, right? So if you just lay down and let the guy pin you, you've quit. So in life, if you just lay down and stop trying, you've quit. But I don't think it is quitting, like you say, to change tacks. You know, just bang your head against the wall, bang your head against the wall, and go, I'm going to go and bang my head against this wall instead. Might feel like that. But so what sometimes looks like quitting may just be trying to find a different route. You can tell when somebody's really quit.
Right.
That's a different story.
You've identified what isn't going to work, which can be a success. Yeah. You talk about changing frame of reference. That's it right there, okay? Yeah. So this will not work. I need to change how I approach this. Mm-hmm. And I need to fix whatever I'm doing if I truly want to achieve
that goal.
What I've said I want to achieve.
And another... Sorry to interrupt you, another great story is from the book, Joe, when you talked about those wrestlers that came up here and, you know, you make them walk on the bus, they're in their suits, they have the craziest time of their lives, and this guy's in, what, like the world champion final 1/10 seconds of it, and he thinks back to his changing frame of reference, says, if I can survive, you know, a week with this lunatic, I can get through the next 10 seconds of his wrestling match, and I think he won, right? You know, that's...
He did, he won, and he called. Yeah.
Make him comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember my writing about this, but the first time I ever came to Pittsfield, Joe didn't, I don't think he had an actual plan. He just had this huge tire and said to three of us, take this up the mountain. And I remember about 6 hours in, sweating. It was like wet snow up to our waists, and there's no way to roll this tire. You're flipping it and losing two steps for everyone you take forward. And I remember partway in thinking, I know, somewhere along the way, he's going to say, good for you guys for trying. I want to see how long you'd go. And it was almost dawn. We're standing at the top of the mountain. I realized Joe didn't say, let's try and get this tire up there. He just said, let's get this tire up there, right? So with that kind of goal, you know, when there's something that is achievable no matter what, it's just a matter of will you stick to it. That was a huge lesson for me. So
that happened to me when Don was in the river. Mm-hmm. We had a guy, Don, here, for those of you listening who don't know who Don is.
Great guy.
And we had a 1,500-pound steel I-beam in the river. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't think we were getting the steel I-beam out, but I said, we got to get the steel I-beam out. And we worked, I don't know, 7-8 hours. Yeah. We got the steel I-beam out of a freezing river that day. And Don stayed in the water up to his waist. Had to be, I don't know how many hours. And so you're right. If you set your mind to a goal, you get it done.
And in true Spartan fashion, you put it back in for the next class.
On that note, anybody who wants to learn more, go to SpartanUpPodcast.com. We've got show notes. We've got more learning lessons. We've got all kinds of stuff. We've even got an interactive capability for you to write back to us and tell us what you liked or didn't like, or what you learned or didn't learn. And if you don't like any of that, well, too bad.
Because we're going to keep doing it
anyway. We're going to keep doing it anyway. We're going to get the tire to the top of the mountain.
Absolutely.